Over the years, my wife and I have become very impressed with the Bethel congregation. The times that I have been in this area and met with your elders to bring them up to date with our work in South Africa, I too have become impressed with your leadership. And we pray that God would continue to bless you and bless the congregation and the leadership here in a wonderful and great way as He has in the past. I really appreciate the opportunity this morning of doing two things. I've often said, and Larry York has heard me say this several times, there are two things that really make up my life. Two things I really thoroughly enjoy doing. And the situation this morning, I have opportunity to do both of them. And that is, I love to talk about South Africa and our work in that country and the training of God's people in Africa. I love to talk about that. In fact, it's hard to stop sometimes when I'm on a time limit, but I enjoy doing it. And then also, I just enjoy preaching. And so, again, I have an opportunity to do both of those this morning. 2014 has been a rather interesting year for my wife and I. When I came back from South Africa in November of last year, as I normally do, go to our family doctor for a checkup. And this time he sent me to the urologist, and they began to do the typical test. And they did a biopsy. And in February of this year, Larry York and I were driving back from the Fried Hardeman lectureship, and my cell phone rang, and after I said hello, the man on the other end of the phone, I knew his voice. He was the urologist, and he had already told me that after the biopsy, if it is cancer, that he would call me personally, and he did. And so February this year, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. My first reaction was, why? Why? Why me? Why should it happen? We're making plans to go back to Africa. Went through the surgery and still trying to recover from that. And then But I had recovered enough by March, April, that we began making plans to go back to South Africa in July. The date was set. We had our tickets. My wife went to the hospital. It was an emergency trip. She had fallen at the house. And we called the paramedics, and they came, took her to the hospital, and they confirmed in May that she had had a stroke. Put her in the hospital, and they did the MRI and confirmed that she had had multiple strokes. And today she is still trying to recover from that. And so we feel good about the recovery. And then a couple of months ago, I guess, she was complaining with her back, and she went to our family doctor, who is a member of the church and an elder in the congregation. And he said, I'm going to have a MRI done on your back. And the results were in. And she's got severe back trouble. And she needs to have surgery, it looks like. And it will be major surgery coming probably the first of the year. We've got some more visits to make with the doctor to confirm that. So, and then about a month ago, my brother passed away. And my personal family now is all gone. I'm the only one that is left. And so 2014 has not been the most exciting years for us. And there's some things that I've had to learn, and I'm going to share some of those with you during the during our worship time together. But right now, we want to talk about the work in South Africa. I want us to go this morning during the Bible class a little bit of history of the work. And the reason for that, as far as I'm concerned, is that in January of this year, we will celebrate, my wife and I, we will celebrate our 46th year of being involved in the work there at the Southern Africa Bible College. We've enjoyed the 46 years. It's been good for us, and hopefully it's been good for the church and the brethren in the country of South Africa and beyond. If we go back to the beginning of the work, the foundation upon which it was established is based on the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, where Paul says to Timothy to make sure that he entrusts to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So the idea, I think, is quite simple, quite plain, and that is, Timothy, in particular, as far as you are concerned, make sure that when the day comes that you leave Ephesus, that's where he was at the time, make sure when the time comes that you have to leave, you have entrusted what you know, what you've heard from me, to faithful men in the congregation where they can continue the work that you have started. And before Paul finished the book of 2 Timothy, he says to Timothy, come to me shortly. Come, I need to see you. Bring Mark with you and bring some of my belongings with you. And so it was not going to be long until Timothy would be leaving. And again, Timothy was to make sure that he had done the necessary training to provide capable men that will be able to teach others also. Now, let me say this. That's the sort of motto still today concerning the Southern Africa Bible College. We think about it all the time. We see that verse in the main hall of our school building. We read it probably every day as we come in. We see that. That's very much part of our life there at the Bible College. But let me say, I really believe, sincerely believe this, that particular idea, that principle, should be applied in a congregation just like Timothy was to apply the principle to the work there at Ephesus. So just make sure that whatever position, whatever we do, whether it's you're the chairman of the visitation committee, make sure that when the time comes that you step down, that there is someone that is capable of assuming that responsibility. I think that's the principle that Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Also, a few years ago, we did a lectureship. It normally is held in October of each year, September, October. But the theme of the lectureship that year was spreading the flame. And we emphasized what congregations would emphasize here, and that is, in South Africa, it is your responsibility to spread the flame. You've got to become evangelistic. You've got to grow and develop. We cannot depend upon Americans being here and doing all of the work that needs to be done. It was a very successful lectureship. And so that's become also sort of the motto, I guess, the foundation principle upon which the school has been started, or was started and is still working by that principle today. So we want to train our guys not only to stand in the pulpit to preach and teach, but also to be heavily involved in evangelism wherever they might go. All right, let me take you back to the beginning days of the Bible College. This, as far as I know, this is the first picture that was made with the early students as well as the faculty. Let me just point out a couple of fellows, and I hope you can see this all right. This is Brother John Harden. John Harden was a longtime missionary in South Africa. He'd been there 15, 20 years when we arrived. And John and I sort of teamed up together and to work out in the villages in South Africa. And we did a lot of evangelism. We established a lot of congregations together. And so we worked with him faithfully, but also he was a part-time teacher there at the Bible College in the beginning. This is Elder Depples. This is Al Horn. Al Horn is a South African, born in South Africa. Eldred is an American. Eldred baptized Al in the 50s. And they sort of teamed up together, and everything that they did, both of them did it. And so in those early days, there was no school, no training in South Africa. So Al was encouraged to come to the States, to go to the Abilene Christian College, as it was known then. His mother at that particular time had not yet become a Christian. And when Al told her that he was going to the States, she says, "No, you're not going. You're not going to go." And this idea of going to college and preaching and that sort of thing was just foreign to her way of thinking. And it had been with Al before he was converted. And so he says, "No, I'm going to go." And this is the flight and all of that. Eldred had arranged that. And got to the airport, boarded the airplane. And his mother actually came to the airport, got on the airplane, and tried to encourage her son not to go to the States. She didn't want him here. And so that didn't help, and so eventually she got off, and the airplane took off, and Al finished his education at Abilene at that time. And then Eldred and Al teamed up together, their families, and went to Tanzania, as it is known today. And then after about 4 or 5 years, the Horns had a child, and she needed education. And so they decided that they would move to South Africa. And the end result is the Southern Africa Bible College. They established that. And it started actually full-time in 1966. So those two men, Al and Eldred, established the school. This is a fellow by the name of Phil Stain and Brian Fonderspay. Those two are South Africans, and they were actually coming from their respective places of preaching and teaching there from time to time in the beginning days of the school. This picture was made in 1972, and it was the SABS faculty and their wives at the time. We had 3 part-time and 4 full-time teachers. And I'm rather young then, and I'm right here, that's me, dressed in that funny-looking safari suit. That was a popular thing at that day and time. My wife was not at the school at that day the picture was made. But great men. We enjoyed working with these. Some of them now have already passed this life and gone on to their reward. But it was good for us to be associated with men like this, very capable men that did a lot of good for the work in South Africa. Brother John Harden and I, in 1970-71, purchased a large tent, a 70-foot by 30-foot tent, and we used that in our evangelistic work throughout the country of South Africa. And here I'm preaching in a tent meeting among the Sotho-speaking people. That's a particular tribe in South Africa. The gentleman that is serving as my translator, his name is John Benapi. He's no longer with us. He died several years ago. His grandson actually serves as an elder in one of the congregations in Pretoria. But John Benapi was one of the first and maybe the first person baptized in South Africa back in the 1920s. And so he was a great soldier for the Lord, very highly respected by everyone in the country, and it was great to work with him and to be part of his life. This picture was made in 1971, and that's what I look like in 1971. Now, that wasn't me. That was my son, actually. As you can see, he was only probably 3 or 4 years old. Him and my wife and I both would, all of us would from time to time go out into the villages in one of these tent meetings, and we'd all be involved in the work in some way. And I stated there on the side of the screen, Ricky helping Dad erect the tent. Wherever he could go, he would always attract a crowd of kids. They would always follow him. And it was amazing, even at his young age, how he could communicate and they communicate with him. It may be Zulu, Sotho, or Northern Sotho, Southern Sotho, Xhosa, Afrikaans, whatever the language, these kids were able to communicate, and they could play all day long and communicate with each other. My son, some time ago, put on Facebook, he said, South Africa is my home. I live in America. And we came back in 1981 to give our son some education here because of educational needs that he had. And he has not been back to South Africa since, but he wants to go badly. And so, but he communicates with a lot of his church friends that he grew up with in South Africa on Facebook even today. This picture was made in 1969. It is the first lectureship that we conducted there at the Bible College. And we still have the lectureship relatively the same period of time every year. The lectureship actually has been a major influence for good in South Africa. One of these days, somebody is going to do some kind of a study. And I don't know who it will be, but somebody is going to make a study, and they will determine the effect of the lectureship on the growth of the church in South Africa, both in numbers, and also spiritually as well. And I think they will find that it will it'll show that the lectureship by itself has been a major influence upon the church in South Africa. These two pictures were made in October of this year, last month, at the 2014 lectureship. We have had some great lectureships in the past, but I suspect that this one this year supersedes all of them. Now, I'm sure that many of you know Bill Watkins. Bill Watkins has been at the lectureship 3 or 4 times. He is loved and appreciated in South Africa, and they love for him to come. They love to hear him preach and teach. But we had a gentleman at the lectureship this year. His name was Larry Klein, and Bill had been the number one speaker at our lectureship, but now he's number two. And Larry Klein has just did a fabulous job, and the whole lectureship was a marvelous, uplifting experience for all of us. I was not planning on going simply because my wife was still recovering, and I was afraid that she would have another stroke while I was gone, and that would be a terrible thing to live through. And so I had decided that I would not go. But one day, about a month before lectureship time, she said, "You've got to go. You got to be at the lectureship. I'll be all right." And so we made arrangements for her to stay with her sister. And I went to South Africa to be at the lectureship. And it was really a treat to be there and to be part of the work there again. This year at our lectureship, we had a total of 42 lectures. And we had 21 of the lecturers were South Africans, and they were graduates of the Southern Africa Bible College. Now, there have been years when we have had the lectureship and we, on purpose, decided that we were going to use as many graduates as we could. But this year, that was not the purpose. We just got the best speakers for the topics that we had come up with. And so when I got to thinking about this, why did half of the speakers come from graduates of our Bible College? And the reason for that is because the American missionaries have done what American missionaries do, and that is, in time, they return home. I've often said that one of the worst ways in doing mission work is to send Americans. But sometimes, in a lot of different places, that's the only way that you can especially get it started. But in time, those missionaries will come home. And that's happened in South Africa. Now those churches are staffed by, many of them elders and deacons, preachers, are staffed by graduates of the Bible College. So without me really understanding the basic principle of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, but simply because the school operated based upon that principle, all of a sudden we have seen the school really shine in providing leadership for the church in Africa. Oh, you may not be able to see this too well, but but right there is the Bible College where it's located. These strings, red strings going out, are graduates of the Bible College. Most of our graduates are still, of course, in South Africa, or at least in Southern Africa. But we have graduates really scattered all over the world, even here in the U.S. So we have had, from the Bible College in South Africa, over the almost 50 years, we have had an effect upon the Lord's church in a lot of different places. This is the campus of the Bible College. This is a farmhouse that is on the property that we bought in 1970-71. And the school actually operated in that house for a couple of years. But I really have the slide to show you the tree. That's a chestnut tree. And no one dare to cut that tree down. It's still growing, as you can see. It's a huge tree. And the reason why it is so important to the history of the Southern Africa Bible College, especially in the summer months, many of our teachers would actually take some of their students outside underneath the chestnut tree and conduct classes outside. So there was a little bit of a history written by someone in South Africa about the Bible College, and the title of it was Underneath the Chestnut Tree. So a lot of memories underneath that chestnut tree, even today. There at the top of the slide, you see the expression, hogs opening a new chapter in their life. That was a statement that was made by our director of the Bible College at the lectureship this year. And because of our health issues, we probably will not be as there as often as we would like. Now, we don't know that for sure. We're hoping to go back next year. A lot of that depends upon our recovery from our health problems. But our directors announced that we would be opening a second chapter of our life in South Africa. And there's a statement that is made there at the bottom of the screen that is taken from Ecclesiastes, and it was written by Solomon, and it's very important as it relates to our work in South Africa. He says, the preacher, that's talking about himself, also taught the people knowledge publicly, in person. He pondered, searched out delightful words, and to write words of truth correctly. So he did not just stop when he felt like his preaching, as we would say today, career was over. He then began to write the things that he had learned down in order for future generations would be blessed by what he had come to find out. So our second chapter activities is going to be writing a number of books, study guides, literature, material for the church in South Africa, and also to teach and preach and assist the Lord's work in Africa as time and health allows. So my wife and I have already started putting together two books. She's a little bit slow. Her expertise over the years has been editing. I would do my outlines at the Bible College, and I would hand them to her, and she would edit that. But now she is a little bit slower in doing that. But the doctors say that all of that will, in time, hopefully come back. And so we have we've started on two books that we're working on. The first one is called The Green Grass of Home. It's actually a book about our experiences in South Africa. And the reason for The Green Grass of Home is when we left in 1969, January of 1969, to go to South Africa, when we boarded the international flight, and once we got into the air, we were able to put the earphones on and listen to music. No movies then, just the music. And the first song that we heard on the earphones was these two young people with a 9-month-old baby leaving family and friends back here, going to a place that we really didn't know a whole lot about. We heard this song, The Green, Green Grass of Home. And so it was sad as we made our trip to South Africa. But once we landed there, there was a group of people to welcome us to South Africa. And we became part of the life of the church in South Africa very quickly. They made us feel welcome. And it has become, it's hard to say whether it's our second home or first home. I guess first home is still Knoxville, Tennessee. But we have enjoyed our life over there so much. And there's been some interest in us writing the history of our work. And so we're working on that right now. And the second the book that we're working on is there at the top of the list. It's called A Revelation of Hope. And it's a study on the book of Revelation. And so we are, and I'm really excited about this particular study. Over the years, I have come to love and appreciate the book of Revelation. It's a book that we're often afraid of simply because there's so much things in there that we don't understand. And so we just put it aside and don't study it. But I've gone back to the book, especially this year, as we have had to deal with the issues that faced us. And we've had to learn something that I had preached a long, long time, and that is that God is our hope. Whatever happens, it doesn't make any difference. God is our hope. And that's the message of the book of Revelation. And I believe our brethren need that message loud and clear from this particular book. And so we're working on that right now. And there are some other things there on the list that we will be working on in the future. Here's the next generation of leaders, our present SAB students there at the Bible College. This was at the lectureship banquet this year. And they are singing the South African national anthem. It's a beautiful song, regardless of who sings it. But when our students sing this, it really is very, very encouraging, to say the least. All right, I end off by showing you a few animals And sometimes I've hesitated to do this because I think, well, people are going to think if you show pictures of animal life and the Kruger National Park and going there and that sort of thing, they will think, you know, you're supposed to be over there working. You're not supposed to be out viewing all these wild animals. But this year, Larry Klein, that I mentioned a moment ago, we took him there, and someone asked him when he got back what he thought about the Kruger National Park, his personal visit to the park, meaning he was sent to do spiritual work, but he took time to do some personal work. And he said, you know, going to the Kruger National Park was as uplifting as being involved in the Bible College and the lectureship. And the reason for that, I got to see our God's handiwork. And really, that's what the Kruger National Park is really all about. If you have faith in God, to go there and to see His handiwork is very encouraging, to say the least. I'm sure you recognize this picture. It's a group of giraffes. They call it giraffes, not giraffes, giraffes. And they had found a delightful tree, and they had called their friends around, and they were having a banquet, I guess. I love this animal, even though it's the ugliest animal of all of them, and the reason for it, you know my last name is Hog, and this is a warthog. And invariably, when I take people out to the park, when we see a warthog, they will say, "Is this a cousin of yours?" And I try not to answer things like that. This is one of the largest animals we know. It's the elephant, of course. And this is the biggest one that I've ever seen in the park. Look at the tusk on this animal. Although this was a rather interesting pose, this is a bridge, actually. This is the rail on the bridge. And this guy was sitting, it was the only baboon around, and he was just sitting up there on that rail, enjoying life, and everything was just hunky-dory with him. And he enjoyed the idea of us taking his picture. He posed for us, and so I thought it was rather interesting. This is a beautiful, beautiful animal. They call it a zebra, not zebra, but a zebra. And I've often asked the question, is this white? Is this animal white with black stripes? Or is it black with white stripes? Well, I don't know. All right, that's the end of the presentation. Appreciate your attendance so very, very much. Attention. And outside, as we leave this morning, we will have some brochures about the college and about our work in South Africa. It'll have our newsletter, the latest newsletter, and we'd like for you to receive one of those newsletters. I don't know. Are we finished with the time? All right. Let's take a 30 seconds. Any question? Anyone has a question about either the work or something that you have seen here? All right. Our director is a South African. He is not a graduate of the Bible College, but he is a South African, a member of the church, been a member of the church for years. But he was one of the ambassadors for the South African government to the UN for a number of years. He was a man that had contact with world leaders. He worked out treaties and agreements between nations. And it's interesting to just sit and talk to him and ask him the question, how many of the world political leaders have you met? And he could go through a list of them, many of them you know. How many American leaders have you met with? And he would go through the list. One day we were having tea together, and I asked him, I said, what is, in your estimation, what is your major achievement in your work career? Is it meeting all of these men and working out these agreements between people? Or is it, or is it what you're doing now, serving as the director and one of the teachers at the Southern Africa Bible College? This is what he said. What I'm doing at the Bible College will have far greater impact on the world than what I did in working out all of these treaties and agreements between nations. And I believe that's true. And I believe it's true with the church today, right here at Bethel. We can have a greater influence than all of the other political leaders put together. We can change the world. We've got the message that we can do that. Live it and preach it. All right, again, thanks for your kind attention. We pray that you will continue to remember us when you go to the Father in prayer, that God will bless us and open the doors for our return to South Africa and also our second chapter activities. Why don't we pray together before we're dismissed? Our Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that has been ours today just to be together, to talk about your work, to look at the history of the Southern Africa Bible College, a work that has had dramatic influence upon countless people around the world. Father, we pray for the congregation here at Bethel that you will bless them and their activities and the other works that they support. What they do locally, we pray that you will bless their leadership. Bless Jimmy Clark as he continues his work here. Be with us, Father, as we continue our worship to you. We pray that you truly will be honored by what we do and what we say this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.